Glenn, tell me what stood out to you most about this project.
I think that there's two things. Number one, the frankness of the veterans that we spoke to. I mean, their willingness to really tell us anything. And you know, one of the unique things about doing these interviews, there's times they will say, I'm not going to tell you everything. And if you just wait, and Ralph, I think you'd probably agree that there's times they just, you know, they want to, or they're willing to tell, but it takes them a while to kind of build up the gumption to go into it. And once they start talking, they do tell us everything. And the other thing that was disarming for me was the appreciation they showed to us for doing the interviews.
I agree. The thing that stands out the most is their willingness to share with perfect strangers after first saying that they had never told their families. So you kind of feel this certain, I want to say honor, but or privilege that these people will take us into their confidence and not think twice about it.
Glenn, I know it was one of the goals you had to represent the region, and I know you really did that with vets from Silver City, Alamogordo, Las Cruces, and elsewhere.
Yeah, Vado, and Fred, how many times do we talk about, okay, how do we serve the communities in our coverage area? How do we really, and this was an opportunity because it wasn't something like, you know, it's difficult to have forums where you need, but in this case, we were portable, or I should say Ralph and his crew were portable, and it gave us the opportunity to go into the communities and meet with these veterans. So it was just a good opportunity for us to fulfill what we keep saying that we want to provide coverage. And again, think about Lordsburg. What are the chances of someone going out to Silver City to interview people from Lordsburg? So it was a wonderful opportunity to really step up and go out and find people that would be of interest.
Yeah, and of course, it's so important to remember, you know, public television, public radio are really the only broadly available places to get in-depth interviews, documentaries. This simply isn't happening on a regular basis in any other venue. So it's really, while it is a television program right now, it's part of an historical archive for the community. 3 hours is a long time. It's 3 one-hour programs. Ralph, I know a difficult part about this is that these are veterans who were not received well by many when they returned home, really heightening the importance of having this historical archive of their impression decades later.
I don't want to feel like we were jumping on the bandwagon, but, you know, 50 years, that's a milestone for any historical event. And unfortunately, the history is, yes, the unrest in America during the height of the Vietnam War created an atmosphere that these guys, women, these men and women came home to, for that's a broad term, an unappreciative, you know, homecoming welcome. You know, there was parades when the World War II veterans came back. There was, you know, there was some, you know, celebration for Korea. And recently when the veterans came back, like my children came back from Afghanistan and Iraq, there was celebration. These guys, these Vietnam veterans, would have to fly home usually by themselves, not as a complete unit, but fly home by themselves, get to an airport and change into civilian clothes. They had to like sneak back into the country. And you think, these are fellow Americans. You know, why were they treated like that? And 50 years later, you know, yeah, it may not be a popular part of our national history, but it's something that needs to be brought to the forefront.
Yeah, sacrifice always is.
Sure.
And I know this is personal for you. As you mentioned, you have had children who have gone to serve.
Mm-hmm.
It's full disclosure, personal for me. My grandfather died in World War II, so I never got to know my grandfather. And for many people listening right now, service is sacred. It is something to regardless of the controversy involved in the conflict, it is something that in our country we by and large honor. But for these veterans, that was not the case. For many of them, they may not have experienced any of that. That, as you say, is something that is pretty much all of our veterans in the past have seen that kind of respect and honor.
It's hard to believe that actually happened, because I have three older brothers that all served during the Vietnam era, and full disclosure, one of my brothers he succumbed in 2005 to complications from Agent Orange. And he had to fight a long time with the VA to get some kind of medical help with that. This was an important project for Glenn and myself and for the station, and just in general, this keep, you know, open up this conversation, inform people. Something we had to do.
Yeah, so important, Glenn. I know there are so many stories from some 15 hours of conversations you had with our veterans. Tell me about one that really stands out to you.
Which one is my favorite son? I don't know. I can't. it's really difficult, and part of the problem that I know Ralph and Christian Valle and Joe Widmer have had in editing is how do you edit it down? I think one of them that sticks out for me, lovely lady from here in Las Cruces, Frances Williams. First of all, she was there the morning that the Tet Offensive opened up in Saigon. She was downtown Saigon. But even more important, she volunteered in one of the, I think it was a field hospital, Ralph, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And her dealing with these young men and their injuries and limbs, eyes, and running out of the tent and cursing God and the government and everything that we would put these people through this kind of trauma in harm's way. And it's just a very vibrant, raw kind of reaction is what I felt.
Yeah. What comes to my mind, I did... I remember doing some reading and some research on World War II. There was a certain battle, and I forget, it doesn't come to mind, but one of the generals there, actually it was a naval battle, he said, uncommon valor was a common virtue. And what that meant to me is that these guys, and this one woman, you know, all of them, in every interview, they did things that were uncommon. You see it in the John Wayne movies. You read about it in the hero epics. And here these people are sons, daughters, husbands, wives. They were someone's neighbors, someone's older brother. People like you and me, and were doing things above their comfort level, their bravery level, and you know, it makes me feel good to see that our country, our community, people that we live with, we shop with, go to school with, have these traits, these personality traits that, you know, are heroic.
Yeah, amazing character.
Yeah.
And such an amazing time to face. These challenges in war are always enormous. But I think in Vietnam, in some ways, not only coming home, but during the conflict, even more challenging in some ways. Glenn, you remember this time well, in addition to great turmoil at home. Some serving in Vietnam were opposed to the war. Can you talk about this aspect of this?
I graduated from high school in 1970 and went to college. I was lottery number, I think, was 286, so I wasn't going to serve. But I was in college, and I don't remember us being venomous toward the veterans returning. In fact, at that by that time, a lot of the veterans were starting to enroll in college, and they were kind of heroes, and often led us to protest the war, not really protest, but object to the war. It wasn't like I was out being tear-gassed or anything, but led us to object to the war. So, I mean, that I remember very distinctly. But again, when you talk to these guys, a lot of them, it isn't so much that they were involved in that confrontation, but what happened to them, Fred, is they came home and they disappeared into the woodwork. Nobody wanted to talk to them. They weren't sure if they were going to be spit at or embraced. So they all just kind of drifted back into the a fog and have remained there until the last 5-6 years. I would say that one of the points was the unveiling of the wall in Washington that started to create some of this.
Yeah. It's hard to put a finger on it. What they went through and how they dealt with it, but it was just a total disconnect between the country they left and the country they came back to, the political turmoil.
Armando Amador's comment, we were fighting for a country that didn't care.
Didn't appreciate what we did. Yeah.
Glenn, you have had a chance to screen this with some of the vets that you interviewed. Tell me about that.
I have to tell you, and Ralph and I have, along with Joe and Christian, have talked about this repeatedly. And let me use Silver City as an example. It was one of the warmest evenings I have had in my 46 years of broadcasting. There were family members there. We didn't want to do a big public event because we weren't sure how the veterans, the features that we were doing were going to react. But I had one family member come up to me before and say, I really don't know why I'm here. Father had never spoken about, had never said anything to them about what he had done in the war and the astonishment that they had, and we gave each of them a DVD of the raw interview with the feature and the raw interview. And Fred, the look of appreciation and gratitude in their faces was just overwhelming.
Well, I mean, you bring up a great point there. This is history for the community, but this is also personal family history that all the family members may not have heard before until this project.
Oh, yeah. A lot of the family members said, you know, I didn't know this. My dad never talked about this. All we know is that, you know, dad was angry, so we didn't press the issue. But,
we didn't know why he wouldn't take us hunting.
Hunting, yeah. Why dad didn't have any guns in the house anymore. And these are people who live, you know, Bayard, for they do a lot of hunting, outdoor stuff. And this one man says, yeah, dad never took us hunting, never went outdoors. Dad stayed up late a lot, and it was...
And in the meantime, dealing with the effects of Agent Orange and napalm and the PTSD. I mean, there's a lot going on there that just isn't visible to us in a common street conversation.
You know, these issues in the most recent of American conflicts, these issues got taken care of right away. And even while some of these soldiers were still in the Middle East, they were confronting these symptoms and dealing with it. And here we are, you know, 50, 40 years, and these veterans are still going to counseling. 2005, when my brother passed, he had already been dealing with the VA, I want to say since 1998. So, okay, it's been about 18, 19 years since, you know, that I realized what he was doing. But it's taken a long time. I just feel like what we did, it was a very worthwhile project, and it's something we needed to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Glenn, what was the biggest challenge for you in completing this project, and what makes you most proud?
Well, the biggest challenge is the time. And Fred, it's very important that when you tune this in Monday evening at 7 o'clock on KRWG, that you understand this could not come out of our regular budgets. This was a separate budget from donations. So when we say from listeners like you or viewers like you, here is an opportunity for you to truly understand that without your participation. When we have our membership drives, it allowed us to do this. But just the sheer amount of work after the interviews, I had the easy part. We've joked from January through end of March, Ralph and the production crew would come over. Well, what can we do? How can we help? We're not doing anything. He says, relax, I'll take care of it here. And then the last 3 months, I've been bugging them saying, well, what can I do? And the usual answer is, go away and just leave us alone, will you?
And what are you most proud of, Glenn?
I tell you what, it's what we fulfilled. Fred, you know, I'm always big on our mission, vision, and our value. But we say we're going to preserve and convey human and natural history. We did it.
This is part of history.
Definitely.
We did it. We say we're going to be productive members of a far-reaching, vibrant, and dynamic community. We've gone out in the community, and the reaction we get is they want to have this conversation, and they want to, how can we better accept and help these veterans that didn't get anything? And we'll respect one's intelligence. The care and the sensitivity that we discussed every step to make sure that these stories were treated in the utmost care,
respect
was just paramount, and made we could have done it a lot quicker had we not taken those severe steps.
Ralph, tell me, what, as we close, what was the biggest challenge for you, and what are you most proud of?
Well, the biggest challenge would probably be the time constraints. We're no Ken Burns, but Ken Burns put out 10 hours, and he took several
10 years
to put it together. We put out 3 hours, and it took us about 10 months, with the most intense part of it being these last three. And then trying to tell these veterans' stories with using archival footage, and this is the technical side of it, using archival footage that wasn't going to either play down their memories or sensationalize.
Okay, very good. Ralph Escandone, Glenn Cerny, thank you both.